Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This is a short episode. It's short because, well, it needs to be short. It's about the TED Talk, specifically Nathan Jurgensen's opinions about the TED Talks. Nathan is a friend of the show. He's the drummer on the live show. More importantly, he's a sociology grad student at the University of Maryland, and he's quite smart and writes about social media and technology and the convergence of the two, and I find it fascinating. The type of stuff that I like to read but couldn't imagine studying, well, Nathan studies it for us. This piece that he wrote can be found at nathanjurgensen.com. All of his stuff can be found there. He's also the co-runner, co-creator of Cyborgology, a site that he runs with PJ Ray. So, without further ado, here is Nathan Jurgensen and I talking about the TED Talks. I should also point out that there is no live show this weekend. This is the first weekend off in quite a while, so we will return in Chicago the following weekend and then back in D.C. And if you haven't heard, I'm trying to get Iggy Pop to perform at my wedding. This is not a joke. Go to youmethemeverybody.com. I wrote a song. Not a song. I wrote a column called Help Me Iggy, which is on Brightest Young Thing. So go to youmethemeverybody.com to find that article. So yeah, here's the show. It's just Nathan Jurgensen and I talking. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a good weekend. Nathan's been on the show before, blah, blah, blah. You're an expert in your field. You wrote about TED Talks. You don't like TED Talks. What's the problem with TED Talks? God, I sound fat right now.
I tweeted that I don't like TED Talks, and I ended up getting this huge response, like all these people. I thought I was alone not liking TED Talks, and all these people are saying, yeah, TED Talks annoy me too. And so I asked everybody, okay, can you help me out explicitly? What do you think? And I made a storify, which is like a collection of tweets, about, you know, some just 50 of the responses that I received. And I started writing out my own thoughts on...
Wait, just 50 of the responses?
Yeah, just in a couple hours, I had you know more than 100 responses. And so I collected 50 of my favorites. And
that's not normal. Don't just say that like that's everyone's Twitter experience.
Right. I mean, and I don't have that many followers. Like to get
yeah,
that many,
yeah,
not
do.
To get that big of a response.
You were retweeted quite a bit.
It was the response was disproportionate to what I would have expected. So I was okay. There's some real. I'm not the only person here that doesn't like TED. And so I started putting together some of my thoughts and also looking at what other people were saying. And I sort of hit on. I think the biggest reason why people don't like TED, and also why I don't like TED Talks, or why, you know, I was saying before, they kind of make me laugh. Like, my first reaction of hearing a TED Talk isn't, that's interesting, but, you know, bah-ha-ha, that's hilarious.
Why is it funny?
It's this corporatism behind it. It's this business speak. It's the tech jargon. We were kind of giggling at when everybody said Web 2.0, social web 2.0. Now they got somebody up on stage going, Web 3.0. Well, now it's just getting funny. Right, everything is about the future and inspirational ideas, and this corporate style of talking about technology has dominated technology discussions in general. Business people, marketing people, they've dominated how we think of technology. Read the New York Times about technology; almost all of them are about the businesses. It's all business.
What should it be about?
I think it should partly be about business. That's great, but it should also be about the social impacts of technology, the personal impacts of technology. We can talk about how social media, how Facebook has changed our culture. That's relevant. We don't just talk about Facebook's IPO, but we could also talk about how Facebook either reduces or perpetuates inequalities, things like that. Those are discussions that they don't have at TED. It's all corporate speak.
Well, TED is 16 minutes per talk, right?
Yeah, usually.
Aren't those kind of big topics to tackle within 16 minutes?
No,
they're not.
No, I don't see why discussing, let's say, power and inequalities with respect to social media isn't something you can talk about in 60 minutes, because we talk about power and inequalities and outside of social media, we can certainly apply Facebook.
Give me an example.
What do you mean?
Like how we discuss this in the public.
Yeah, I think, and I actually, as in the piece that I wrote for the New Inquiry on TED, I gave an example. There was one TED Talk that I thought really started hitting at that, I can't remember, Eli Pricer.
Go to the article, folks.
Go to the article, and he has a concept about filter bubbles. He calls them filter bubbles. But one example is Facebook doesn't have a dislike button. Facebook only has a like button. Facebook wants their platform
to be
fun. Did
they ever have a dislike button?
No, they never had a dislike button, because they've wanted their platform to be fun. You know, dislike would be nasty and ugly. And So something like, let's say, but we also know that Facebook has algorithms that sort what news you see, mm-hmm. right? By default, you don't get them just the most recent. Facebook has an algorithm by what they think you'll like, and stories that have lots of likes mm-hmm. are more likely to be seen and raise be higher up in the filter stream. Well, let's say somebody reports, posts a link to a story, deaths in Afghanistan, troop deaths in Afghanistan. You can't really like that story. That's unlikable. Right, mm-hmm. And therefore that story isn't as likely to be prevalent in our news feeds. And we also know that a lot of people, especially of our age, our early 30s, late 20s, get most of their news from Facebook. This is kind of scary, but it's reality.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's kind of reality. It's how people hear
about. Reality, but it's not scary.
Well, I mean, but maybe it is scary if. The fact that an Afghan that stories that are not as likable, like troop deaths in Afghanistan, if they are less likely to be seen, this design decision that Facebook made said, "I don't want a dislike button," that has an impact on what news people end up reading.
True, but more likable Facebook, news. How did most people get their news?
Television.
No, well, television fine, and television and what? Yeah. And how often were Afghan deaths reported? Afghani deaths reported on the nightly news, or the 5 o'clock news, or
the 5 o'clock news in the front page of the newspaper certainly had likable issues.
Yeah, and there would maybe be 30 seconds, and it would not be the top story.
Right, but all I'm
and
all
those,
I'm saying
those
is,
stories are still getting reported.
But again, we're just saying that the design decisions that Facebook is making have implications
on
what
yes.
news. Because if they would have put an important button, let's say there was an important button that you can click on Facebook, then that Afghan news story might raise up higher. This isn't about comparing Facebook to other platforms, but just saying the decisions that Facebook makes are political, and they have political implications.
Okay.
And these are the sort of talks that Ted doesn't want to give because they're not about selling a product. That's what the TED Talks do. They're about selling a product. It's very corporate. One of the other points I made is that they almost take on an evangelical, cultish religious sort of a feeling in that everything is, picture Steve Jobs selling an iPad, mm-hmm. saying how magical the iPad is. And you get that same kind of feeling at a TED Talk where everybody's trying to be Steve Jobs and every idea is treated like an iPad.
Yeah.
But people start to see through this corporate speak. People know when they're being sold to. But
TED Talks are more popular than ever.
TED Talks are very popular, and I think it's going to be declining. Right now, people like me who are very skeptical of corporate speak are already, very disillusioned by TED.
And you started out liking TED Talks.
And I started out liking them. I like the idea. I like the idea of smart ideas delivered in an accessible way. I like that. That's really cool. But it's the certain style of smart ideas and the certain style of this accessibility that is very corporate, it's out of touch, it's very religious, and I think the biggest problem is that it's not inclusive. So if we look at, I posted a chart of how many TED speakers at TED were male and female. We could take a wild guess which gender
70-30?
Was radically overestimated. Go to the chart, you see the numbers, but men are radically overestimated in the speakers, and so they made TEDx Women. So they made this token conference to try to even things out. But I mean, like I said in the article, it's obviously what you need to do is be more inclusive through and through rather than create this token little space to the side where all the speakers and all the audience are women and then say, okay, now we're being inclusive. So it's not just the speakers, but the ideas that are being articulated. If TED really wants to call themselves cutting edge, they cannot continue to have people and ideas that are from the center of Silicon Valley, the center of corporate money, but rather also look to the cutting edges of society, the margins of society, and hear people, hear voices and ideas that aren't already being articulated everywhere. That's what cutting edge really is, and that's what TED isn't. And it's that disconnect between what TED sells itself to be, cutting edge, new and fresh, and what it actually is, mainstream, corporate, and out of touch. That's that disconnect that I think really makes them look disingenuous and really is the biggest problem with TED Talks that I have.
Now, you have a conference coming up.
Yes.
In April.
Yes.
How are you different? Like, I mean, you said you don't want to have you don't like TEDx because it's essentially like a weaker spinoff to compensate. how are you making sure you're not making the same mistakes?
Right, so TED events are very expensive. The main conferences are $6,000 a ticket. Our conference is pay what you want. I think right there tells you the sort of attitude difference. We're not going to have any product talks, nothing like that. But instead, we're going to hear talks from people with opinions that are actually cutting edge. Mm-hmm. They're actually from the margins. Things that you're not going to hear in general. So, actually hearing some feminist theory, hearing some, real critical race theory as it applied to the internet. You're not going to hear that at TED. You'll hear that at the conference.
Finally, what should people know about your stuff? You run a social media site. You that'd be great if you did. You should start a site about where people could be friends.
Facebook.com, I started.
Really? That's the one you're going with, huh? It's a place for friends. It's Friendster.
The Facebook, www.thefacebook.com.
Can we get that? Is that open?
I'm sure Zuckerberg still has that.
Let's get that for Twitter. Yes. Anyways, let's start over. Okay, so the conference isn't a spin-off. It's more of an extension of the site that you already run with PJ Ray. You guys are sociologists, is that correct? How do I define you guys, sociologists?
Yeah, that's fine.
And you study social media and all that good stuff. So the name of the blog is?
Cyborgology.
All of your pieces for all of this stuff can be found at?
Yeah, I mean, I have my own site, NathanJurgensen.com.
Yeah, and that's...
And I write for lots of different sites.
Exactly.
You can find my work on Cyborgology or The Atlantic or wherever. The TED piece was on a site called The New Inquiry, mm-hmm. which is this really cool literary magazine out of New York City that I really dig. And since this one is... This idea is a little bit less academic and a little bit more polemic. I thought that'd be a good place to do it.
You made the right decision. All right. Everyone should follow him on Twitter as well. He's got way more followers than me. He does not deserve any of them. It's at Nathan Jurgensen.
Yeah.
And find him on Facebook. He's a 99-year-old female. All right. Moving on.
You will not find me on Facebook.